Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 16 lines from the top of Daf Chof Aleph. You will notice a diamond that appears, and to the outside margin, you will notice that we have a Mivneh heading with an indication that this goes until Amud Beis. Mivneh is a structural note in Gemara markings. In our Shas Ozer, that's the Gemara that appears on your screen, we feature topic headings that we call Nosei and Mivneh headings, structural notes, as needed. In this case, under the Mivneh heading, we feature a diamond, and the series of diamonds continues till Amud Beis, and it encompasses the expression Omamar, which are Tzitutim, quotes, Mima Shemuzkar Liel, quotes of things that were mentioned earlier. In this case, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which enables you to align this with the arrow that you see a few lines up, pointing to the line of the Gemara where mention was made of a klal uprat uklal. So, Omar Mar, we now quote from that. Klal uprat uklal, iato don elokein aprat. The structure of the posuk that was under discussion at the end of our previous shir is to be understood in a klal uprat uklal fashion. That's a klal is a general, prat being a specific, and again, klal fashion. The posuk had mentioned V'chol dam lo sochlu, v'chol moshvo sechem. That's a general statement. We're referring to psukim that were quoted on Chof Amud Beis, and we're referring to psukim in Perek Zayin, posuk Chof Vav and Chof Zayin of Sefer Vayikra. So the opening of the posuk was a general, where it said v'chol dam lo sochlu, and then it went on to specifics, la'oifu l'behema. And in Chof Zayin, it went on to say, Kol Nefesh Asher Tochal Kol Dam, which is once again a general statement. So in so far as it being a klal pratu klal, we say, I ato don elokein haprat. If you want to include something in addition to Oif and Behemo that are mentioned, you can include things that are similar to Oif and Behemo. Ma haprat mufurosh, just like the prat, the specifics, namely the Oif and Behemo, the bird and animal, are dover shiesh bo tuma kala v'tuma chamura. They have possibilities of tuma kala, which is tuma associated with food matters, tumas ochlin, and tuma chamura is that type of tuma that will make a person tame, and in our sugya, in addition to the person becoming tame, the clothing he's wearing also. V'yesh bo isur v'heter. And just like Behema and Ov have Iser before they're shechted, and after they're shechted, there's Heter. V'yesh bohen min bosar, and they are meat-oriented. Af kol dover sheyesh bo tuma kala v'tuma chamura v'chulei. So too, anything else that has these characteristics. So the Gemara now asks, af kol dekotoni l'suyei mai. What is the af kol coming to include? After all, we have a klal uprat uklal setup, which enables me to include something. Well, what is being added that from which I will learn that it's whatever it is, its blood will be forbidden? Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin La Suye Domoy Shel Koi. This posuk is coming to include the blood of a koi. Well, a koi is an animal. That's pretty clear. How do we categorize it, though, is now going to be the discussion of the Gemara. We also have a little note or a marking where to the immediate left, right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice we wrote the word koi with a descending vertical dashed line. This is inserted to indicate that all of these lines of the Gemara will be focused on the issue of the koi, this creature. So the Gemara asks, my kosovar, what is the thinking regarding koi? E kosovar koi sveikahu, if the thinking is that the koi is a doubt, namely, is it a behemoth or is it a chaya? And the posuk would be coming to include koi. Well, you wouldn't need a posuk for that. It's to rekra lemesar sveka. Would you need a posuk to forbid this type of doubt? The reason that you wouldn't need a posuk for, because either way, if it's categorized as a behemoth, well, behemoth blood is usur. If it's categorized as a chaya, chaya blood is usur. So either way you look at it, you wouldn't need a special pasuk to include the koi. Ela kosavar, this approach that we are taking in the Gemara, is of the opinion that koi bria or beria bifnei atzmo hu, that it is a separate entity, a separate category of creature. It's not a behemoth, it's not a chaya, but it's a separate category. So the pasuk is telling me that this separate category of creature is something whose blood is forbidden. So up till this point then, we have found the required information regarding the blood of the koi. Hence the Gemara says, Ashkechon domo. We have found information about its blood, the koi's blood is being forbidden. Chilboi minolon. What about the chilev? How are we to know that the chilev is different sections of animals, of kosher variety animals, are forbidden to eat? And one has to be an expert in knowing where these areas are, the chilev areas. So the chilev of a koi, from where do we know scripturally that it is forbidden? Answer, mikol chilev, from a posuk that mentions chelev, but it says all chelev, in coming to include the chelev of a koi. Parenthetically, it's worth noting that the chelev of a chaya is not something that is forbidden. It is allowed. A chaya being an undomesticated kosher variety animal. Neve lasso minolan. What about the isser of eating an unslaughtered or improperly slaughtered koi? Answer, mikol nevela. I learned from that posuk that the meat of a koi, if it's not slaughtered, would be forbidden. Gid hanoshe minolan. From where do I know that the gid hanoshe, which is a nerve that runs along the hind leg of an animal, how do I know that the gid hanoshe of a koi is forbidden? The answer is, bekaf hayerech talya rachmona. The Torah describes the gid hanoshe as something running along the kaf, the bowl-shaped part of the thigh. The whole islay kaf hayerech, a koi has that anatomical structure. This is in opposition to a bird, for example, that doesn't have the required anatomical structure to make forbidden its gid hanoshe. Tum osoi ushchitosu minolan. From where do we learn the laws regarding the ritual impurity conveyed by the tuma, by the carcass of a koi? Or from where do I know that a koi would require shchita? Answer, svara. This is already logic. Mida lechol mili ravya rachmona kibehema. Since we have seen the Torah to include the koi regarding all other areas, categorizing it legally, halachically, like a behemoth, so tumaso ushchitoso nami kebehemoth. The laws regarding tumas nevela, and the necessity of slaughtering it, are also compared to a behemoth. Another diamond appears, indicating a quote from something that was mentioned earlier. On the outside margin, we have a nose, a topic heading, and we have written, Ein chiyuv kores al dam mahalchei shtayim. There is no kores punishment for the consumption of human blood. The eino doime lebehem of oif. Human blood is not, human beings are not comparable to behema nor oif. De lohem yesh tumah chamura v'kala. behemos and oaf are characterized by the possibility of tumah chamura, and which is a we'll call high level of tumah, and a low level of tumah, which is associated with tumas oichlin. Umalchishtayim yesh rak tumah chamura. Regarding human beings, we find only tumah chamura. Another point that will be raised in the upcoming Moras Stira, a contradiction, v'yishuva, and a resolution, b'boser odom, regarding human flesh, im shayech bo hechsher u'machshava. The concepts of hechsher and machshava, are they relevant to human flesh? Let us now turn back to the Gemara. Omar Mar, oitzi, this quote, by the way, is coming from Chof Amud Beis. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with an indication that this is found back on Chof Amud Beis. So it had said there, Oitzi dam hachishtayim sheish bohen tuma chamura ve'ein bohen tuma kala. I will take out of the prohibition, the Torah prohibition of blood, I will exclude from that human blood. Because human beings convey tumo chamura, in other words, a dead person is metama, high level tumo, but there is the concept of tumas kala, which is associated with tumas oichlin, isn't relevant to human beings. Hence, human beings are not like the realm of behema and oif. Veramin, we raise a contradiction from a second source, which we're labeling here as Roman numeral number 2. Hachotech min ha'adam, if one cuts flesh off a living person, tzorech machshava v'hechsher. In order for it to be relevant or connected to the realm of tumas oichlin, so one would have to have machshava, meaning intent to use it as food, and hechsher, and it would have to be exposed to some liquid, a certain one of seven different kinds of liquids that are machshir lekabel tumah. Just as an example, a fruit, a dry fruit pulled off a tree, is not capable, that will not absorb tumah. Even if a dead sheretz touches a dry fruit just freshly picked from a tree, the fruit will not mekabel tumah. It needs to be exposed to liquid, so that if one washes off the fruit and you have a damp fruit and then the sheretz touches it, so it will become tumah. That's the concept of hechsher. So we're saying that the human flesh requires hechsher before it can be mekabel tumah. We have a bracketed section. The length of this bracketed section is indicated by the bracket length indicator, the vertical dashed dotted line that you'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Right after the brackets, if we were to skip and pick up the Gemara, mikol mokoim kotoni tzorech machshava u'machshava l'tuma kalahi. We're talking about human flesh, and in that context, we saw in Tanaic source number 2 that human flesh needs intent to eat it, and that whole concept of something needing intent to eat is something relevant to the realm of tumah kala, which is tumas oichlin, this light level of tumah. So how was it argued before in source number 1, which we labeled the Roman numeral number 1, and you can see we dashed underlined just a few lines up, where it said Ein bohen tumah kala, referring to mahachishtaim, or human beings. So here is a seeming contradiction. Now, we have a lengthy bracketed section. What is the reason this is in brackets? So that we have a note to explain this. If you notice where there's a star, that is, if in this case on the outside margin, under the no say heading, there's a star, then the note begins, Matras Hasograyim, the purpose of these brackets, L'shem Dilug, is to skip, the way we did just now. Darak Acharehem, only when you get to the point after the brackets, Muva Nekuda Sastira, the point of contradiction will appear, B'she'ilas V'raminhu. This section of Gemara was brought in, introduced by the word Veramini on the first wide line in the middle, the contradiction word. That word indicates the raising of a contradiction. So the ability to see the contradiction is only once you skip to the phrase right after the source, then right after the brackets, that is, then you see the problem. Besoha sograyim, haGemara masbiro inyan hamachshava deboi lebosar adam shenechtach minachai. Within the bracket section, the purpose of machshava with regard to flesh from a human being is elaborated upon. So now let's go over the in bracketed section. V'kashya lon, machshava lamali. Why must there be a special plan or designation of the flesh removed from the person to be used as food? Tase chaticho shelo machshava. Why not simply consider the fact that it was that he did the act of cutting it off? He cut off flesh from a person. That the act of cutting, the removal, the cutting off of that flesh, shows us that he has a food intent. Rashi says about halfway down, Tase chaticho shelo machshava, dekiva dechatchei, since he cut it, achshave, that is considered, that's tantamount to the thought to eat it. De'i noga be tuma, mekabel tuma. If tuma would touch it, so then this piece of flesh would become tome. The Gemara continues, V'omar reish lakish, b'choychoy lekelev. The case here is a person is cutting off the human flesh to feed it to a dog. The plan to give it to a dog does not constitute a thought worthy of making it or view, making it being viewed as food, and hence the cutting off is not enough. You'd have to have a special thought or a plan, intent to feed it, to give it to a person. The Gemara asks, "Veloi, is it so? Is that is it really that way that a machshava lekelev is not a machshava v'hotnan?" We have a Tanaic source dealing with the realm of tumas oichlin, and it says, "Klal omru betuma." A general rule has been stated with regard to tuma. Koham yuchad lechol adam tomei achiv sal meachilas kelev. Any food item that's designed for people's consumption will retain its tuma until it becomes until it rots to the point that a dog would not eat from it. Well, what do we see from here? We see that the eating of the dog, the dog's consumption, the dog's eating of something is of significance when it comes to determining the identity of something as a food item. So that if, as we said before, he cut it off to feed it to the dog, shouldn't the cutting off alone be enough to make it categorized as food? Why does the source say that when source number Roman numeral number 2 said that it needs machshava? The cutting off itself should be sufficient to serve as the machshava. The Gemara answers, Hahu, the din that we just learned is lasuki tuma mine, to remove tuma from food that has already been mekabel tuma. It would have to rot to the point that even a dog wouldn't eat it. Dekevon de mikora habechozil adam, since it started off as a good piece of food, food that's designed for or designated as regular human food. As kinon mituma ad shiyifsal meachilas kelev. It won't lose the tuma that it absorbed until it becomes so rotten that a dog wouldn't eat from it. That has to do with the realm of the removal of tuma from something that originally became tomei. Haha, though the issue of cutting off human flesh to feed to a dog. Here, you were not dealing with something that was tomei at the outset. Hocha la'achusi le tuma. Here, the issue is conveying tuma to it. In this case, to the human flesh. Therefore, e chazi la'adam in. If you're talking about a food item that is fit for human consumption, then it will be makabel tuma. However, it will be kabel tuma, namely by the mere cutting off of it. If you're dealing with some other item, the cutting off would be enough to, since it's something fit for people. E loy chazi l'adam. If you're dealing with a foodstuff that's not fit for human consumption, then loy, then the mere cutting off of it wouldn't designate it as food unless you have a special machshava to feed it to a person. All that having been said, we now go back to what we saw earlier. Mikol Mokom Katani, it did, however, say in source number 2 that Sorech Machshava, that a special Machshava is needed concerning the human flesh that was cut off. Machshava Lutuma Kalahi, the purpose of Machshava is to instill in the item a food status, and that will, that has relevance with regard to tuma kala, meaning tuma that would affect food and not people. What's the problem then? Before, in source that we call Roman numeral number 1, people or human beings were described as something that does not, that is not connected to the realm of tuma kala. In source Roman numeral number 2, we see that human flesh is connected to the realm of Tuma Kala. The Gemara answers, Hani Mili Mechayim. The idea that you would, that you need Machshava, and hence showing that it's, that it has the potential of Tuma Kala, that's Mechayim, where the flesh was cut off of a living person. Avali achar misa tomehu tumo hamura. But when you're dealing with that which was the topic of source number 1, you were dealing with a dead human being. The flesh from a dead human being has only tumo hamura, no tumo kala. And as a result of that, we were able to say in source number 1 that the human being, the dead human being, is not like a behema or oif. Therefore, we say in general that the blood of a human being is not going to be forbidden to the degree that the blood of a behema or oif is forbidden. The Gemara asks, if you, and our hesber for this Gemara is based on what the Rabbeinu Gershom explains, and the question is as follows: if you're going to set up source number 1 as dealing with li'achar misa, blood of people, and when we speak about people, and the source describes the people as ein bohen tuma kala, we're talking about a person that died, the kavasa gabi behema li'achar misa. Well, then you'll have to parallel the case of behema to the case of person, namely the animal died. And it said regarding animals in that source that they do have tuma kala. Well, is that really so? E bosar, if you're talking about the meat of a dead animal, mitame tuma hamura, it conveys tuma hamura. The e dam mitametuma hamura, and if you're talking about the blood of a dead animal, it also conveys tuma hamura. Disnan dam nevelos beishamay mitaran beishilol mitamin. What we're interested in, what we have to focus on, is the shita of beishilol that says that the blood of dead animals is mitame, and we're talking about tuma hamura. So where do you see tuma kala if you're talking about a dead animal? Loi nitzircha, the Gemara answers, and we should have pointed out that the use of these triangles is noted on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style of Gemara. The point facing up represents kushyos, difficulties, and the flipped-over Gemara, the triangle, represents a response, an answer. So we're answering that brisa number 1 that speaks about the tuma kala by a behema, and we're talking about a behema that dropped dead. So lo nitzucha elo lichedisnan. I need that point that tuma kala is shayach to behemas after they die for the following source. It says here nevelas behema tamei b'chomakim, the carcass of unkosher variety animals. For example, a dead horse or a dead pig. That's a nevelas behemotameo, and nevelas oif hator bikforim, or the carcass of a dead kosher variety bird in villages. These are small places. Tzorich machshavo v'ein tzorich hechsher. They require machshava. In other words, people will not eat from these things. People will not eat dead horse meat or dead pig meat. Therefore, in order for it to be classified as food, one would have to have machshava, a specific intent to use it as food. There is no need for hechsher, and Rashi explains, because the nevela is capable of conveying tumo chamuro, so it doesn't require hechsher. Now, we continue after the line and a half in parentheses, the Amarle Rav l'Rabbi Chiya. Rav asks Rabbi Chiya, machshava lomali, what is the need for machshava? Well, l'tuma kala. In general, machshava is needed for tuma kala, to make something categorized as food for the purpose of tumas oichlin. Well, v'ha hi gufa tuma hi. But we're talking about a nevela. It itself is the embodiment of tuma. So what is the need for machshava to make it something fit to makabel tuma? Omar le. So Rabbi Chiya answers. This whole point, we'll say, of machshava, when you're dealing with the carcass, with carcass meat, kagoin de'ika pochois mikazayas nevela. We're talking about a situation where we have less than an olive quantity of carcass meat. As such, there's no tumas nevela. You need to have a minimum of a kezias, of an olive quantity of nevela, for it to convey tumas nevela. And in addition, v'tzarfa lepochois mikabetza oichlin. I took this less than olive quantity of carcass meat, attached it to other food, less than an egg quantity. An egg quantity is the minimum quantity for a food to convey tuma to other food. So now, the high havi kibetza, now that I've combined this carcass meat with the pochos mi kibetza of oichlin, I now have a kibetza, a full egg quantity of food stuff. So it's under those circumstances that I would have to have a machshava regarding this very case. E hachi, if you're dealing with less than a kezias, and it's something that can't come to tumas nevela because you're dealing with less than an olive quantity of carcass meat, liboy nami hechsher, then hechsher should be required. Why does it say above that there is no need for hechsher? You'll notice a bracketed section, which if we skip the brackets, we would get immediately to the answer. The purpose of these brackets are indicated by the starred note, and let us read the starred note. Matras ha-sograyim, the purpose of these brackets, laharois, to show the ad kan ikur ha-shela, the main question is raised till this point. We've seen the question. Miyad achrei moifia ha-tshuva, right after the brackets, the Gemara offers its answers. Besoch ha-sograyim, within the brackets, ha-gemara mevi'o divrei reka la-shela. The Gemara will give the background information needed for appreciating the question. So we pointed out that the case of behemoth, dead behemoth needing machshava, and its connection to the realm of Tumas Ochlin is a case where it's a very specific case where you had less than an olive quantity of carcass meat and you combined it with less than an egg quantity of other food and combined it into one unit now of measuring a complete egg quantity. And as a result, it is relevant or connected to the realm of Tumas Ochlin and having no Tumo Chamura of its own. The question now is, if that's the case, why is there no need for Hechsher? Hechsher is that phenomenon of making food able to Mekabel Tuma, and that is accomplished by the food item being exposed to some type of wetness, of one of seven different kinds of liquids, including water. Now, the bracketed section, the Ha Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they teach the following Tanaic source. The pasuk says, Al kol zera zeru asher yizorea. Ma zroyim miyuchodim she'ein soifun letamitu mechamura. Just like vegetation is unique in that it never comes to tumo chamura, v'tzorech hechsher, and in order for the food to mekabel tuma, it has to be exposed to a liquid. Af kol she'ein soifon l'tame tumo chamura tzorech hechsher. So to anything that is not going to come to a tumo chamura level does require hechsher. So in our case, when you were dealing with less than an olive quantity of nevela meat combined with the less than a kabetz of other food stuff, it doesn't come to tumo chamura. So it should require hechsher. Then why is it above, did we say, in the source that dealt with the nevela of behemah tmeah, it said it needs machshava, but it doesn't need hechsher. So the Gemara answers. You'll notice the number one over this triangle. This is an answer triangle. It's also a long answer. We have a long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see the tuf in the inverted triangle with a descending dashed line. This will take us to Amud Beis. This is an answer. It takes a few lines to develop. Omar lei hocha be'uchlin de'alma. What, let's read that again. Hani mili, when is it that you require hechsher? Hani mili ba'oichlin de'alma. Foodstuffs in general. Deles b'hu pochos mi kezayis nevela. Foodstuffs that have a necessary quantity without the attaching of it to the less than olive quantity of carcass meat. Aval hocha. But in this case, which is being used to explain Tanaic source number one, Roman numeral number one that we saw above, at the last of the narrow lines, where you're dealing with a foodstuff that in order to get to the shear you have present less than an olive quantity, if you were to attach another amount of carcass meat that would equal a full kezias of carcass meat, low boy hechsher, you wouldn't need hechsher then because you've got a complete shiur for tumas nevela, and as we said, tumas nevela is it's carcass meat that really is the embodiment of tuma. It exudes tuma, it emits tuma, it doesn't require hechsher. So hashto Nami, we're at the very top of Omid Beis, Hashto Nami Lo Boy Hefshir. Now too, even though you don't have a full olive quantity of carcass meat, you don't need Hefshir. Now, all of this is in contrast, Lafuke Mace, to be contrasted with a human, dead human being, Afalgav Dememalia Lay, there if you were to take that less than a olive quantity of dead human flesh, even if you were to complete it with some other food substance, lo metama tumas oichlin mishum debotla daito eitzo kol odom, because nobody would eat that. And even if you find some strange character that would eat it, his mindset is voided and irrelevant in light of the general mass. Let us take a look at the Rashi, who on the very top, Lafuke Meis, Klomar, Lahochi Aminan Leel, Yotsu, Mahalche, Shtaim, Shein Bohem, Tumal Kala. It's for this reason that we said that the carcass case, the carcass animal meat, is different than the case of the human being, human flesh. The afal gav de mamli lepochos mikabetza oichlin mipochos mikazayas minames, that even though you would attach it, the dead human flesh, less than a kezias, to a quantity of food stuff, less than a kebetza, to complete a full egg quantity, lo mitstarif bahadei l'tumas ochen, it won't join up to form a unit of food and hence tuma and enter the realm of tumas ochen. No one considers, nobody, no normal human being would consider ever eating dead human flesh. The Gemara on the third line from the top continues, Rav Chananya Omar, afilu teimo dehave kezayis. You can go back to source number one that we had on Omid Aleph, that price of number one, and speak about it in terms of a full kezayis. The question then is, if you're dealing with a full kezayis, why by behemo do you speak about this? We're talking about the carcass meat of an animal. As conveying to it, as having tuma hamura to it, let's just backtrack for a moment to the inverted triangle of Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya Omar afilu teimo dehave kezayis, the source on Omid Aleph that featured the carcass of a behemot mea, in which it said you need machshava and you don't need hefsher, as opposed to, or in contrast with answer number one, which spoke about a less than an aleph quantity of nevela meat, here answer number two is saying that you can talk about a full aleph quantity of carcass meat there. And then you might ask, so why does it say that it has tuma kala? If it's a full aleph quantity of carcass meat, it represents tumas nevela. Hocha b'mayaskinon. So here we are speaking kegoin shechipohu b'botzek. He took this olive quantity of behema carcass meat and coated it or covered it, enveloped it in dough. As a result of that, we can say, and now based on Tosfos' explanation, you find by behema tuma kala. And there is also tuma chamura, and this is all in contrast with human beings that have only tuma chamura. Well, how in this case do you see tuma kala? The answer to that is through touching it. Through touching it, it represents a food item, and you're not touching the actual carcass meat because it's enveloped in the dough, so that there is only tuma kala in terms of touching. However, if you were to support it or carry it, it would metama a person tumas maso. That's the tuma associated with carrying something that has this tuma characteristic. The Gemara asks, well, ihachi hechsher nami miboi, if in terms of if the answer is that he coated it in dough, so then, and as such, it won't convey tumo chamura through touching, so it should require hechsher. And yet the source said that it needs machshava but does not need hechsher. The Gemara answers, hani mili ba'oichlen achrini. It is true that hechsher is needed, but that's regarding other foodstuffs, the lo metama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa, that don't convey tuma not through touching nor through supporting. Aval hocha, but in this case, when you're dealing with a kezias of basar nevela that's enveloped in dough, nihi de lo metame b'maga dekom chapi bebotze, granted that there is no tumas mago, that's tuma through contact, through touching, because it's the nevela, it meat is enveloped in the dough. Bemaso mihas litame dohatonle. However, through supporting it or carrying it, there would be the conveyance of tuma because he is supporting a kezias of nevela. That explains why there is no need for hechsher, and that is because it has the. It's different than other foodstuffs that never convey tuma chamura, or never have tumas maso, as opposed to this case where there is tumas maso. Now, all of this is to be understood in contrast to human beings. La fuke mes, to the exclusion of the case of mes, the afal gav, de chipohu bebotzik, if you take an olive quantity of dead human flesh and coat it in botzik, metame tumo chamura, it would convey tumo chamura even through maga, because the tumo bokas viola bokas vioretis. When it comes to dead human flesh, the tumo penetrates even without actual contact with it. It penetrates. It casts its rays, so to speak, through whatever is coating it. We skip the parentheses lines. Omar mar, yotso dam dogim vidam chagogovim shekulon heter. We contrasted the blood of fish and locusts to the blood of behemoth and oifus, in so far as that the dam of dogim and chagovim is kulon heter. They are completely allowed. My kulon heter. What does that phrase mean? E lemo de chelbo mutter. If it is because the chelev, their chelev is allowed, so that once you have something whose chelev is allowed, I'm then going to make an association with that and say that its blood should be allowed. That is not true. Hare chaya the chelbo mutter, a undomesticated kosher variety animal, its chelev is allowed to be eaten, vidoma osur, and yet its blood is osur. So, in describing dogim and chagovim as kulon heter, thinking that it's a reference to its chelev, that equation wouldn't hold up, because I have another case of chelev being mutter, and yet the blood is osur. The Ela. Now, these double underlines, as you can see, are stages in trying to decipher what kulon heter means. And we've indicated this on the nos, under the Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The double underline appears. Shlavim levarer mahu pirush kulon heter. These are stages in trying to explain what does kulon heter dikotoni etzodogim vechagovim ketam shedoma muter as a reason for their blood to be allowed. So far we try to say that kulon heter might mean the chelev, but that doesn't check out when you look at the chaya precedent. The next stage, v'yalo mishum deles behu iser gid hanoshe. You might say that kulon heter means that dogim, that fish, and chagovim, locusts, don't have the gid hanoshe prohibition. That's the nerve that runs in the animal's leg. Well, v'hare oif deles be iser gid hanoshe v'domo osur. We cite the case of a bird to contradict this supposition. Namely, the bird has no gid hanoshe prohibition, and yet its blood is forbidden. So what is meant by kulon heter in the context of dogim and chagovim? Elamai kuloi heter, doloi boi shchita. These are life forms that don't require slaughter. Fish are eaten without slaughtering. Locusts can be eaten. If you can identify and you have a tradition concerning the locust as being something that people ate, you would be able to eat it without shechita. That, of course, is in contrast with behemo and oif that was mentioned in the previous Gemara. whose blood is usur insofar as they are things that do require shechita. Omar Mar, another quote, Ma oif she'en boi kilayim af behemo. Are we, if the Torah had written oif, I would have thought that oif is, the oaf's blood is usur, insofar as the oaf is something that has no kilayim. Af behemo, so too, I would have, if I had just oif, I would say that there is no there is no blood prohibition in those behemoths, that there is no kilayim. Well, Talmud Lomar ula behemo. So we add the word behemo to tell me that all behemos, the blood is usur. If we look back at Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, the source, four lines from the top, had read Ma oif she'ein bo kilayim, namely, if the Torah had written only oif, I would have thought af behemo she'ein bo kilayim. So too, the case of behemo, where there is no kilayim, that its blood would be usur, but a behemo that has kilayim, the blood would not be usur. Therefore, the Torah had to write ula behemo. Now, what is meant by kilayim in this discussion? Kilayim demai. I lemo kilayim deharbo u kilayim deharisha. The kilayim deharbo is mixed breeding animals. Animals, taking two animals of a different variety and mating them. That's kilayim deharbo. Now, kilayim deharisha is the prohibition of plowing with two different varieties together. And if that's what kilayim means, then it wouldn't fit into this source, which describes oif as something that has no kilayim. V'hotnan, chaya v'oif kayotze bohen, that just like behemoths are forbidden in mixed breeding and dual plowing, so too chayas and oifos have those prohibition. So you wouldn't be able to describe as oif as lacking kilayim. Elo omar abaye, what does it mean that oif has no kilayim? The kilayim referred to here is shatnez. Shatnez is the prohibition of mixing together wool and linen. So elo omar abaye shitzimroi ein chayav an olav mishum kilayim. In the case of a bird, there is no case of bird. Bird plume figuring into a kilayim prohibition. And in the Havamina, we were saying just like birds don't have kilayim of fabric nature, namely shatnez. Shatnez has no relevance to the realm of birds, bird feathers. So too, in the Havamina, animals that are not shayach to the realm of kilayim, so those are the animals that there would be a blood prohibition, as opposed to, let us say, a sheep, where the wool of the sheep is shayach to the realm of kilayim. So I would think it wouldn't have carried with it an isur of dam. Therefore, the pasuk had to write ula behema to include sheep as well as being forbidden, as their blood being forbidden. As you notice, there's a slash mark that appears that indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. And before we continue with the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. Dinoi Shel Rav. Rav will be teaching us a law, Dam Shrotzim Loikin Olov, that for the consumption of blood of Shrotzim, one will warrant getting lashed. Shrotzim are the realm of animals that are can be categorized as short-legged. Things like mice and other related creatures. So Rav says that the consumption of their blood will lead to lashing. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Dam shrotzim loikin olov v'kezayas. Now the assumption right now is that if one ate an olive quantity of shrotzim blood, he would receive lashing for having violated the prohibition of eating blood. We raise an objection to this, but not only that, if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that this house form appears in alternating positions. Under our Mivneh heading, we featured a house, and we indicate this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion. The point, or the roof facing upwards, these are kushos al dino de Rav. These are questions on Rav's din. When it flips over, that they will represent responses or answers. So the Gemara raises a question. Meisvei. Dam hatchol, dam halev, dam hakloyos, dam evorim, hare elu beloy saseh. The blood of these different entities carries with it a negative prohibition, but not a no kores penalty. They include the tul is often translated as spleen, dam halev, the heart, dam hakloyos, the often translated as kidneys, and dam evorim, the blood of limbs. The blood of those entities carries with it a negative command, but not kores. The seifa of the source says, dam mahalcheshtayim, human blood. Dam shrotzim, we've dashed underline that, that's the focus of our attention. That's dam shrotzim uramosim, osur v'ein chayovin olov. It would seem to mean that as opposed to the resha, which said that there's a loisaseh, which would result in lashing, the seifa is saying ein chayovin olov, which it seems to be there's no malchus for it. So if we focus on the main point, we see shrotzim no malchus, contrasted with Rav that said shrotzim yes malchus. The Gemara answers, my ein chayovin olov dikotoni, what is meant by ein chayovin olov in this Tanaic source? Kores avolav mechayev. All that is being relieved here is one is released from a kores penalty, however, a kores punishment, but there is a lav. Well, that will conform then to Rav. The Gemara asks a question. Chado, question one, dehainu resha. If you're going to say that the ein chayovin olov of the seifa means no chiyuv kores, but yay, but there is malchus, well, that's the same thing as the resha said. And if it is meant to be like that, then why does the source break it up into two parts? It should have taught all of these things, dam atol, dam alev, etc., including dam chishtaim and dam shrotzim, and then say at the end that hare elu beloy saseh. But the source itself is broken up into a reshon a seifa. The oid, another objection, tano milav nami ko mimit lei. We know that tano excludes shrotzim from a lav. Dikotoni, it says, yotza dam shrotzim, to the exclusion of dam shrotzim. In other words, there was a pasuk that mentioned kol dam lo sochlu, don't eat blood, and in the source we were taught, and you can find this by noting the arrow on Omid Aleph that corresponds to this arrow, and there it will say Omid Beis. And it teaches that the pasuk is to the is excluding yotza dam shrotzim she'ein bohem tumo chamura. The pasuk that featured a lav excludes shrotzim. So shrotzim are not in the dam shrotzim is not in the realm of a lav. So how can Rav try to answer before that ein chayovin olav meant no kores, but there is a lav, a negative command, when the source says to the contrary? The Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Zera, Hisru bo, if a person was about to eat dam shrotzim, and he was warned, Mishum sheretz, loiket. Don't eat that, he's told. Don't eat the blood of the sheretz, and he's told don't eat it, because one who eats it is violating the iser, the prohibition of eating shrutzim. Well, he will get malchus. You see, the blood of a sheretz has the same status as the flesh of a sheretz. So if he's warned not to eat the blood, using language or a warning that would be used for eating the flesh of a sheretz, he will be subject to malchus, because the blood and the flesh of the sheretz are one in the same as far as halacha is concerned. However, if he's warned mishum dam, if he's about to consume sheretz blood, and he said, don't eat that, because if you do, you're in violation of the prohibition of eating blood, eino loka, he won't get malchus. It's an insufficient warning, or an inaccurate warning, and one cannot give malchus. We cannot convey the malchus penalty without a proper warning. So just to go over this again, Rav said that dam shrotzim could lead to the lashing penalty. That is true, but not because of a blood prohibition, but rather the blood of shrotzim is a sheretz prohibition, tantamount to eating sheretz flesh. Once again, you see a slash mark indicating that the following is a new trend of thought. On the outside margin, under our No Say heading, we have featured Dino Shel Rav. Once again, we have a teaching of Rav. Dam Dogim Shekinsoi, also the blood of fish that you gather together, that you in a container, and then eat it, consume it, that will be forbidden. Omar the Gemara. Omar Rav, Dam Dogim Shekinsoi, also collected fish blood that one would then drink or eat after it's been collected, that is forbidden. What we are obviously pointing out is that even though we have learned till now that dam dogim is excluded from the prohibition of dam, however, if one were to gather together fish blood in a container and then consume it like that, he is doing something prohibited. We now see a new geometric form as far as our sugya, a volcano shape, a trapezoid, with the narrow part facing up. They represent questions, and under our mivne heading, we've indicated this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth, give and take structure of this gemara. So the narrow part facing upwards represents kushos, and when inverted, they are responses. So the gemara raises a question, meisvei, a question raised against Rav from the source we saw above. Dam dogim, dam chagovim, mutter. We had seen above a source that said yotze dam dogim v'dam chagovim shikulam heter. So now this leads us to think v'afilu lechatchila, that it's mutter as a first choice. Lechatchila means at the outset, or as a first choice, there is no restriction with regard to the blood of fish. So the Gemara answers, Hahi, this source that says mutter b'shaloi kinsoi, where it wasn't gathered together. You simply took some fish flesh that had blood absorbed in it and ate it like that. So there's no violation of having consumed the blood of the fish. Ki koma Rav. When does Rav say that it is forbidden? Bishekinso. That's when it's gathered together. The blood is gathered together in a receptacle, in a vessel, and then consumed. That would be forbidden. The Gemara asks a question. Dekavosa, Gabi Mahalche Shtayim, the same source that spoke about the fish and the locust blood also spoke in the middle of that source, spoke about the human blood as being usser. How did we explain the source with the fish and the locust? We said the source was b'shelo kinso. So then you have to keep that same factor running through all of the examples. And in the case of the human blood, you'll have to say also lo kinso. It's non-gathered human blood, and in the source it taught that the human blood is forbidden, even though it doesn't carry with it a kores punishment. Well, if that's the case, that the source is speaking about ungathered human blood, and you're telling me it's forbidden, so mishalo kinso mi osir, if it wasn't gathered together, would it be forbidden? V'hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source, which says, dam shal gabi kikar, blood, a person's blood that's on a piece of bread. Goro v'yochlo, you scrape off the blood and eat the rest of the bread. Shelbein hashinayim, blood that emerges between one's teeth, in one's gums. Motzitzo bolo v'yeno choshesh, he can suck it in and swallow it and doesn't have to worry whatsoever. So here we have a description of non-gathered human blood, and it says it's all right to consume it. Doesn't say usser. Ella, ki tanyo hahi masnisa. The source, we have to go to a new answer, new explanation of the source that spoke about the dam of dogim being mutter. That's the is be kaskasim. He's added fish scales to it. So you have fish scales together with the blood. Even if it happens to be, we're talking about gathered together blood. Since you have the fish scales there showing us clearly that it's from a fish and one will not come to confuse it with animal blood, it's okay. Kikoma Rav, who also spoke about gathered together fish blood as being forbidden, Kikoma Rav, also the Les Bay, Kaskasim, it's a case where you don't have the accompanying fish scales. So if you have a flask containing gathered together fish blood without the scales, to the onlooker, it looks like any blood looks like behema blood too. And if someone were to see me eating it like that, they'll come to an erroneous conclusion regarding blood of animals. Hence, Rav says that to gather together fish blood without scales present will be forbidden. You can see we have a slash mark, once again indicating that the upcoming Gemara is a new trend of thought. We have a geometric form, this we call the crown shape, with a Roman numeral number 1 added to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivne heading, where we feature the crown shape, and also indicate Shnei Lishoinas. There are two versions in our Gemara, Shaleim Koshur Rav Sheshes Be'inyin Dam HaChishtayim, where Rav Sheshes will make a comment regarding human blood, and his comment will be associated with two versions of this Gemara. Omar Rav Sheshes, Dam HaChishtayim, the blood coming from human beings, Afilu Mitzvas Porush Ein Bo. There isn't even an expectation to separate yourself from it. In other words, to stay away from it. So Rav Sheshes seems to be saying that when you're dealing with human blood, there's no problem with it. Meisvei, we raise the following Tanaic source as a challenge to Rav Sheshes. The source says, Dam HaTchol, Dam HaLev, Dam HaKloyes, Dam Evorem, Hare Elu, Beloy Saase. Dam Mahalcheshtayim, now this is what we've dashed underlined, which is the focus of our attention. Dam Shrotzim, Uramosim, Osir, V'ein Chayav Olav. It says very clearly here that human blood is forbidden. So how can Rav Sheshes say that regarding human blood, there is no expectation to stay away from it whatsoever? The Gemara answers, Ki Tanya Osir, the source that indicates that the human blood is Osir, the Piresh, it's separated from the person. Ki Komar Rav Sheshes, who spoke about the human blood as representing no problem, but the low piresh, it hasn't been separated from the person himself, kidisanyo, as is illustrated in this source, of which we saw very recently, dam sha'al gabi kikor. By the way, we're on the second line from the top of Chof Beis Omed Aleph. It says that blood that's on a kikar, on a loaf of bread, gor v'ochlo, just scrape it off and eat the rest of the bread, shel bein hashinayim, blood that is in one's on one's gums, between one's teeth, motzeitz, he can suck it, ubolea, and swallow it, v'eino choshesh. Now we've dashed underline ubolea v'eino choshesh, indicating the point of the source that illustrates Rav Sheshes' halacha, and that is blood, human blood, that hasn't been separated from the person's body. There is no problem whatsoever. You can suck it and swallow it. In contrast to blood that is separated from a person, that is forbidden. Iko demasni lo lahodar Rav Sheshes al hoda desanya. There are those that attach or that teach Rav Sheshes's point on the following Tanaic source. So here is a new Tanaic source, following which you can see, if you just skim down, you'll see the crown around Rav Sheshes's name, and we've added here to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, opposite the third line from the top, a Roman numeral number 2, indicating this is the onset of the second version. Also, we've squiggle underlined Iko Demasni Lo Lahodar Rav Sheshes with a squiggle underline, which is a marking we use when you have some alternative, either an alternative to an alternative answer or a second version of whatever. So here we have a second version of this sugya with Rav Sheshes, and we start with a Tanaic source. Yochel cholov malchei shtayim ye oichloi oiver balav. Could it be that one who would drink human milk, a woman's milk, would be in violation of a negative command? Well, v'din hu. Logic would tell me that I would be. Ma behema tameo. Mind you, a unkosher variety animal, say a horse. Shehikalto b'mago'o. There is a horse does not communicate tuma through touching it. Touching a live horse, there's no tuma. There's no nida or zava that's shayach, that's connected with a horse. And yet, hechmarta b'chavava, yet the horse milk is forbidden. Mahalchi shtayim shechmarta b'mago'on, human beings that do convey tuma through contact. If a woman, for example, is a nida, contact with her will convey tuma. So we see an element of severity by humans that you don't find by animals. Enodin shetachmir b'chalav, and then all the more so, I will be strict with regard to their milk, the human milk. And therefore, it should be, one would be, like I said, logically, in violation of a lav. Talmud lomar v'ze lochem hatomei. This posuk is a posuk with a limitation to it. Ze means this. Ze tomei v'ein cholav malchei shtayim tomei alo tohor. The posuk is telling us that unkosher variety animal's milk is forbidden, and only that is forbidden, and not the milk of a human being. Otsi es hacholav she'ein shoveh bakol. I will exclude from prohibition the milk of a person. She'ein shoveh bakol, which the reason for that is that even by animals, you don't find uniformity with regard to milk. You have kosher variety animals whose milk is allowed. Only with regard to unkosher variety animals is there a milk prohibition. So I can understand there's room for leniency with regard to human milk as well. However, v'lo otzi et hadam sheshava bakol. However, when it comes to human blood, I won't exclude it from the blood prohibition, because when it comes to animals, there is no distinction. There is uniformity. All animal blood is forbidden, whether it be kosher variety or unkosher variety animals. So, being that when it comes to blood, there is uniform prohibition in the realm of animals, we should say the same thing with regard to a prohibition concerning human blood as well. Talmud lomar, v'ze lochem hatomei. Ze tomei v'ein da mahalchei shtayim tomei elo tohor. Animal blood is prohibited. Human blood is not prohibited. Omar Allah, Rav Sheshes, regarding human blood, Rav Sheshes comments Hafilu mitzvahs porush ein bo. There isn't even a mitzvah, there isn't even an expectation for one to distance himself or separate himself from it. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.